The Bible says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Brother Randy is here tonight. He's sick. He's extremely sick. And he wants to be anointed. And he's maybe not going to be able to stay. They're probably going to have to leave. But he made it here on purpose so that he could be anointed. Now, we could have come to you, Brother Randy, if all you had to do was call. Amen. But you can come. If you need to bring a chair, you come. And we're going to anoint you. The men that want to pray and be part of the anointing, come on.
As you're coming, we would just like to say that, you know, there's no magic in this world. There's nothing. It's just a symbol of Randy realizing and knowing that his dependence is upon the Lord. He's acknowledging that. He wants God's people to pray for him.
And Revelation chapter 21 with me for a minute. I tell you, I just got to preach. Amen. I just got to preach. Amen. Oh, John. Now, Brother Randy, he's been through some problems. He's got some physical problems. He's got some trials of the flesh that he's going through. But, oh, Brother John, he went through a lot of things in his own self and of his own right. Amen. The Bible says they boiled him in oil. Amen. The Bible don't say that, but history tells us, I should say. They boiled him in oil. You ever scald your hand? You ever jump in the shower and turn the hot water on? And it was so hot, did it burn you? Imagine what it would be like to be boiled in oil. Imagine what it has done to his body physiologically. Being boiled in oil. Some of his internal organs, no doubt, were cooked and hurt and damaged beyond repair. They boiled him in oil, but it didn't kill him. Amen. So they exiled him from the cauldron to the Isle of Patmos. And everybody thinks that John was just dropped off on some little island somewhere, and he sat back and he began to worship and pray and have these revelations and have these thoughts and these visions of things and write them down. Patmos was a place where prisoners were sent to mine for the Romans until they died. Amen. He suffered immensely. But man, he got a vision of heaven. And when he got a vision of heaven, it made him want to keep on keeping on. John eventually got off of the Isle of Patmos and was killed in what is modern day Turkey. But because one day he met Jesus and he trusted Jesus as a Savior, he knew that everything was going to be all right. Because one day when it seemed like things has got as bad and got as low as they could get, he got a vision of heaven. And when he got a vision of heaven, everything else didn't matter anymore because all he wanted to do was go there. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I know about a place called heaven. I'm glad tonight that the Bible has told me some things about a place called heaven. In Isaiah chapter 66, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." He's already there. Amen? He's already there. That's the dwelling place in Deuteronomy. It tells us that heaven is God's dwelling place. But John got to get a vision. Paul over in Corinthians, he got to visit there. And he said he got to hear things that weren't even lawful for him to repeat. I believe this is why he's going on to talk about the thorn in the flesh that God had given him, lest he should be exalted above measure. Can you imagine getting to visit heaven? There's a thing on the internet going around on Facebook. If you could visit heaven, would you go? Ain't no way, because it wouldn't be a visit. If I went to heaven, I wouldn't want to come back. Amen. I told folks many times, I said, I think one of the maddest men in the Bible was Lazarus. Amen. Already dead, went to paradise. And just because of you and me, so that we would have an object lesson, God let his son call him back from the dead. Amen. Now I want you to understand something. Lazarus was dead. He'd done been to paradise. This old fleshly body that he dwelt in, the Bible said, was wrapped up. You know, when he come out of that tomb, he didn't come walking out of that tomb. I believe he levitated out of that tomb. Because when he got out, what did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. How do you think he come out of that tomb? Amen. How do you think he come out of that tomb if Jesus said, you got to loose him and let him go? Do you think he walked out? I don't. I think he come forth miraculously. Well, he raised him from the dead miraculously. Couldn't he levitate him out of the tomb miraculously? Amen. Who was it that was calling him? Who was it that was bidding him come? It was Jesus. Amen. But John, like others who have had those visions, got a vision, and he recorded some things for us that I think will help us as we face this life and as we know what we have awaiting us, what's before us. In Revelation 21, John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now look, I'm going to go through this whole chapter right here, chapter number 21. But I want to look at some things that I know about heaven that the Bible tells me about and the Bible assures me of right here in chapter number 21. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for the privilege of seeing a soul saved tonight. One who readily admits he's been a pretender. One who admits, God, that you brought him to this place for this time that he might give his heart and life to you. And God, we just ask you tonight to encourage him and help him. But Lord, as we look to your word tonight and we spend the rest of our service tonight worshiping you, God, help us to give glory unto you for what you've prepared for us and what you've let us know and what you've let us see. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of folks have all kinds of visions about heaven. Oh, they see little cabins and little farms on the hills of glory. And they see streams with fish and forests with wildlife and deer running around. Folks, none of that is biblical. None of that is a picture of the heaven that God has prepared for me. But I do know one thing. I've seen some natural beauty. I've done some things in this world that are just awesome and been able to go to places. But there's nothing in this world that will compare to what heaven is. Amen. First thing I want you to see. He said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The first thing I realize and the first thing I think about heaven is a place of unimaginable beauty. Amen. He describes the new city, the New Jerusalem, as a bride adorned for the groom, as a bride made as beautiful as she can be made and adorned in the things that help her to emulate the beauty of what God has done. He goes on down in verses number 10 to 21 and begins to describe the beauty of the city, the beauty of this place. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hold on, I got to take this coat off tonight. I'm on fire already. Amen. Praise God. Let me get out of that thing so I can preach. Amen. He said, listen, having her glory of God, praise God. You know what makes a heaven so beautiful and so unimaginably beauty? Its glory is of God. Amen. If God's in the center of it, it's pretty. If God is all about it, it's pretty. You know, the greatest scene of beauty, the greatest point of beauty in all of heaven and in all of the glory that God has prepared is that He's there. Amen. Amen. Is that He's there. But look at what He tells us. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, had 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. He measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper. And the city was the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I'm not going to read all the stones. Go on down and read them all. It's all the things that we hold precious here. The emeralds, the sapphires, the diamonds. All the things that are precious here are only suitable for the foundation of the city of God. Amen. And he goes on to talk about all these things. And he said the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Praise God. Let me tell you something tonight. You will never see anything, and you can never imagine anything that's as beautiful as what heaven is. Amen. It's indescribable. I believe John, as he was writing this thing down, he was pinning it down. I can imagine him sitting there pinning this down. They're never going to believe this. 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 I can't describe this as beautiful as it is. It's going to be hard. They're never going to believe this. How can you begin to imagine things? We hold gold so precious in this world, and up there it's nothing but paving materials for the streets of the city. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing that you can imagine that's as pretty as what heaven is. Amen. Amen. Man, knowing what I know about heaven. Thank you, Charles. Hey, man. I wanted to sing that for some time, and then you sung it the first time you come. And I said, no, I'm just going to leave that be. He does a good job on it. Hey, man. I like that song, though. Knowing what I know about heaven. Hey, man. And just knowing that He's there. Listen. And just knowing that He's there. Look at what it says in verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Jesus tells us repeatedly throughout His gospel and throughout His ministry that His Father and our Father, God, is in heaven. Amen. And He says the dwelling place of men will be with God, and God's dwelling place is going to be with men. Praise God. Just knowing that He's there is enough to make me want to go, even if there wasn't nothing but a shack in the corner of Glory Land. Amen. 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 But that's not what He said. You know these songs, just, Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory. They're unscriptural. They're unbiblical. They sound, and sometimes we got our man-made humility. Amen. Oh, Lord, just give me a cabin. Just give me a little cabin out in the corner. That ain't what Jesus said. Amen? And I understand the intent. But let's keep our self-made and our self-proclaimed. See, Linda Esch, Amish lady, friend of ours that we know, she told us one time, says, you know, humility is a funny thing. She says, when you think you got it, you don't. I said, yeah, Mary, or yeah, Linda. I said, that's so true. That's so true. And we try to be so humble. We try to promote that we're humble. You know, I see the preachers, they preach with I call it the holy hunch, and they'll walk around when they're preaching, they hunch over, and they want to humble themselves. Listen, stand up bold and give God glory. Amen. Stand up bold and proclaim His word. He said, cry aloud and spare not. Amen? That's what He told us to do. We need to give Him glory because He's worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all glory in everything that we can do as His children. It ought to be our goal to stand proud and to give God glory for who He is and because of what He's done in our lives. Amen. But we need to live our lives humbly before Him. Amen. Amen. We need to quit trying to make everybody else think that we're humble and quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and worry about what Jesus thinks. Amen. And let our humility flow and fall before Him. I'm glad that I know that He's there. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Then I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Praise God. The greatest treasure in the greatest part of heaven. You know, I've got loved ones there. I've got loved ones that I love dearly there. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day that I'm going to see my loved ones. But if I never get to see my loved ones, and all I ever get to see Jesus is Jesus. Amen. That's what really matters. That's what heaven's all about. It's about Jesus. It's about me and Jesus. The Bible says that when me and Deb kick off, and if she gets her way, we're going to kick off together in a tragic and painful accident, because that's the only way we're going to go together. Amen. Burn alive in a house we couldn't get out of, you know, crushed by a tractor trailer that hit us going down the road, you know. Yeah. How is she going to go together? It's got to be some plane crash, you know. She said, you won't feel it. I don't know. I don't mind the dying. It's just getting there that bothers me. Amen. But the Bible says when we get to heaven, we'll know as we're known. But if I never got to see her in heaven, just being able to be with Jesus, if she never got to see me in heaven, and I'll tell you all this. If you ain't figured it out yet, she adores me.
Amen.
She'll tell you. She adores me. I'm the luckiest man in the world. She absolutely adores me. No matter how I am, she adores me. But if she never gets to see me in heaven, it'll be worth it to go to heaven. Because she's going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I like the cards the fellow says carries at the. It's a witness. Sometimes it's like a track, but sometimes it's an advertisement for the church. But they'll say, if you've never met me, you've missed nothing. But if you've missed knowing Jesus, you've missed everything. Amen. And it goes on to tell them how to get saved. You know, what I know about heaven is Jesus is there.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all that matters. What song we sing, if the walls are not jasper, and if the streets are not gold, if my mansion should just be a cabin, as long as it's heaven, it's home, The only thing my eyes long to vision, the only thing my heart needs to know, is that somewhere on the hills of Mount Zion, the King is sitting high on His throne. You know, that's really all that matters. Amen. That's really all that matters. And not only is it a place of unimaginable beauty, a place where God my Savior is, it's a place where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more tears. Look in verse number 4 at what He says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Brother Randy ain't going to have to worry about all that. He might have to live in pain, as he said, for the next 20 years here. But when he gets to glory, he's not going to have to worry about it anymore. Amen. Amen. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more crying. There won't be a tear seen shed anywhere on the hills of glory, because we're with our Savior, and He's going to wipe away all the tears. He's going to take away, I think, all the hurtful memories of things that we've dealt with and things that we've seen and things that we're going through. And the only thing that we're going to have time for in heaven is praising Him. Amen. I tell you what, He's worthy of our praise down here. But we ain't never praised Him down here like we're going to praise Him up there. Amen. I'm not able to shout loud enough, long enough, hard enough, or spiritual enough to praise Him the way that He's worthy to be praised, as long as I dwell in this temple of clay that restricts me and keeps me from being able. But praise God, when I get there, there's going to be nothing that's going to restrain me. Nothing that can keep me from giving Him glory. And I'm not going to have to worry about the hurts and the pains and the sorrows and all the things that we went through down here. Hallelujah. There's going to be no more tears. We're going to bury her brother on Saturday. Our army, I don't know why we keep saying every day, but Wednesday. Amen. We keep, somebody else asked the other day, you know, I don't know why. It's going to be on Wednesday. We're going to bury her brother. There's going to be tears shed. There's going to be hearts that are broken, lives that are going to be shattered because of what has happened and what has transpired. But praise God, one day, amen, one day there'll never be another tear. One day there'll never be a moment of sorrow. One day there'll never be anything to have to cry about because all things are going to be changed. And look at what it says in verse number 5. He said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise God. There's not going to be any more broken bodies. Deb already says, I'm not worried. I know where Joe's at. I know that he's got two legs now. I know that he can hear what's being said now. I know that there's no more diabetes. Praise God, up there there'll be no more cancer. Praise God, up there there'll be no more heart disease. There'll be no more problems like Randy is trying to deal with and the doctors can't find and the doctors can't do anything about. Praise God, all things are going to be new. We're going to have a new body, a glorified body, a body that's just like Christ. Amen. Amen. And praise God, I'm glad tonight what I know about heaven. Amen. My little grandbaby. Amen. Our little granddaughter. We seen and watched lay there and suffer. Watched her little body swell up from the kidney failure to where he thought she was going to pop. He just didn't know how she couldn't. Her little ears just swelled up and everything about her just in agony. She's going to be all brand new. Amen. She's going to be all brand new. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more hurting. Amen. Because she's going to have that new body. She's got that glorified body. She's got that heavenly body that's prepared for where God is and to be in His presence. And listen to verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God. Not only is it heaven, not only is it a distant place, not only is it a place of unimaginable beauty, where God is, where there's no sorrow, there's no tears, and all things are made new. Praise God. It's a place that I call home. Amen. Heaven. It sounds so sweet where children play upon its golden street, where no one dies, no tear dim dies, and no one up there will say goodbye. It's heaven, my home, sweet home. Hey man, I don't know about you, but when I think about heaven, I can think about home. Amen. Hey man. When I think of heaven, I long to go home. Amen. And I tell you what, you can get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good if you sit around and you think about it too much. Amen. Because if I want to go to heaven and I desire heaven, praise God, I just get tired of the nonsense that we fool with. That's why I preach so hard the way that I preach. I want folks to go to heaven. I want them to know that it's real. I ain't got time for all this foolishness. I ain't got time for all these little cliques and clubs. We ain't got time for all this nonsense. Souls are dying and going to hell. But I want them to know that there's a home on the other side that they can claim if they'll invite Jesus into the heart and know Him as their Savior and know that you can meet your loved ones again. There's going to be a reunion day. Amen. Up there one day. Amen. We're at home. Yes. Amen. Amen. Home. A fella died and went to heaven. St. Peter showed him around heaven and showed him this bunch over here that got saved. He showed them this bunch over there that got saved. He showed them a bunch over here that got saved, and they're all in heaven. Went by a spot, and there wasn't nobody there. He says, well, ain't nobody here. Where are they at? He said, that's where all the hillbillies are. He said, well, there ain't no hillbillies here. He said, well, that's because every weekend they go home. Y'all don't get that. Some of them do. All the folks that come up here from the south to work. Before they had Route 81, when it would take 16 hours to drive from Elkton to southwestern Virginia or southwestern West Virginia, would get off work on Friday night. They would load their kids and everybody in the car every Friday night and go home. Went back to West Virginia, went back to Virginia, went back to the mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee. See, you had to be raised in that, I guess, to understand that. But as a running joke, amen, where's everybody at? They all went home. Well, there ain't nobody there. No, they went home. They went home for the weekend. They'd leave Friday night. They drive on, they get there about midday on Saturday. They'd sit down and eat a bite, visit with the family for a few minutes, get in their car, and drive back because they had to be back in time to go to work on Monday morning. They went home. Amen. Well, praise God. When I leave, and anybody asks what happened to the pastor, what happened to Pastor Gilbert that used to be here? Just tell him he went home. Amen. Just tell him he went home. Amen. Because that's where I'm going. When I leave here, I'm not going to some foreign land. I'm going home. I'm just a pilgrim and a sojourner here below. I'm just a wandering through this low land of sin and sorrow. And God has blessed me along the way. But I'm looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. And I'm going home one day. Amen. That's what makes heaven so sweet. Heaven so dear. Is its home. And those that know me know I'm a homebody. I'm not a roadrunner. Generally, unless I'm having to be somewhere for the church, unless I have to be somewhere because of the work that I had, I'm at home. I'm just not a roadrunner. I like to be home. Amen. We go on vacation. She's worried about finding souvenirs for the grandkids and where we're going to go get this and where we're going to go get that. And I'm wondering when we're going home. And it gets on her nerves. We just got here. It's only Monday. Yeah, but when are we going home? When are we heading home? I like home. Amen. Just tell him I'm going home. Amen. Just tell him he went on home. He finally got to go home. And he won't never have to leave again. Amen. He won't never have to go somewhere else again. Praise God. It's a place I call home. It's a place where sin does not exist. And I'll never have to deal with sin. I'll never have to deal with its ramification, its byproduct. You know, God destroyed the world the first time, not because of sin, but because of the fruits of sin, the byproduct of sin. Amen. You study that out. Bible says in Romans, from Adam unto Moses, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed unto man, because where there is no law, there is no sin. Amen? And you say, well, why did God destroy the world? He destroyed the world because of the byproduct, the fruits of sin. Man had become evil because of sin. Man had allowed sin to turn him into something entirely contrary to what God had intended for him to be. And God destroyed this world. But then he sent the remedy. Amen. He sent his son to take away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Sin has been defeated. Sin has been conquered. The Bible says there will be no sin there. Look in verses number 8 and 27. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In chapter 20, verses 14 to 15, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. I'm happy to report tonight. I'm happy to know tonight. I'm happy to know. What I know about heaven is that there will be no sin there. Praise God, I'm not going to have to deal with it anymore. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to have to watch it destroy lives and destroy families, destroy homes, destroy people the way that it has done for years. I've watched as pastor in this church, and I've seen what sin has done in people's lives. I've watched as I look into our community and I see what sin has done in people's lives. Yeah, they had an Assisa wig here a couple weeks ago from the beginning of the year until now, until that time, there had been, 45? 45, so I thought it was 45 deaths due to drug overdoses. But that don't account for the ones who died because of drug addiction and what drug addiction has done to their bodies that didn't die of an overdose. I bet you could probably add that many more to that number. I have no doubt whatsoever. Most of the time, I'll just tell you this right off, most of the time when you read an obituary and you're reading an obituary of somebody that's 40 years or younger, and it says they died unexpectedly or they died suddenly, it was because of the effects of drug addiction. Their hearts give out. Their hearts just fade away. My niece, bright young girl, got hooked up with a man. She got married to a guy, and he got addicted to drugs. He started with painkillers. Got hurt, started with painkillers. He got addicted. And she divorced him because of his drug addiction. He wound up dying. Found him in the closet. Died of a heart attack from drug overdose. She met another fellow. And after seeing what drug addiction has already done, he got addicted to drugs. Pretty soon she was addicted to drugs. She had to go to the hospital. And they had to repair and replace heart valves. This is a girl that's, well, she's Becky's age. Late 30s at the time, mid 30s. Had to have the heart valves replaced because of drugs. And they told her, you will never be able to have surgery again because you will never live through the surgery. Sin. Her gallbladder got infected. They could do nothing for her. They could not put her to sleep. They couldn't do surgery in any way to remove her gallbladder because they said she would die. And she literally died of gallbladder poisoning in her body. A slow and nasty and ugly, ugly death. Sin running rampant. Sin underreported. Sin underaccounted for. But in that city, in that place called heaven, there will be no sin. There will be no side effects of sin. All the bodies that have been broken by sin, that have repented and called on Jesus and asked him into their heart and have been born again, have been made new. Amen. Praise God for a place where we won't have to worry about sin any longer. We won't have to deal with sin anymore. I'm tired of seeing friends and family and folks that I know lose their loved ones because of sin. I think I shared with the adult class this morning in prayer request. I got an aunt that's a step aunt to me, and she's about 2 years older than I am, but I aggravate her to death, and every time we talk, I say, "Hey, Aunt Linda." But she called to tell Debbie that she'd heard about her brother dying. And as we was talking, she says, I know. She said, I've lost too many. I've lost a brother. She said, I lost a granddaughter 2 weeks ago. Another story, bright young girl. I guess, young ladies, listen to what I'm telling you. You're not going to change them. Amen? You're not going to change them. Don't look for one out there. Look for one in here. Amen? And finding one in here doesn't guarantee you're not going to find one with problems. Amen. But you stand a much better chance. Amen. You have much better odds of finding the right one in here than you do out there. Amen. Another young lady. Good Christian young girl. Got hooked up with this fellow. Started doing drugs. And she thought she was going to change him, thought she was going to change him, thought she was going to change him. Guess who got changed? 2 weeks ago, she died. She left a 12-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old behind. She told the family, I'm running to the store for a minute. I'll be right back. They found her car had run off the road, run into a field, had crashed and run off the road. But that's not what killed her. She got out of the car and told her family she'd been in an accident, she would be home, and walked up behind the farmer's barn. And there they found her laying, dead from a drug overdose. Folks, sin is running rampant. Sin is destroying lives. Sin on every hand and in every place and in every family and in every life. But praise God, up there, there's going to be none. Sin's going to be a thing that's forgotten. Sin's going to be a thing that we no longer know about. It's going to be so far removed from us that we're not even going to be aware that sin had even existed because all things have been made new. We'll never see sin again. It's a place where we can find a perfect peace because there is no sin because it's a perfect place. It's a place I'm going to someday. And praise God, I know that I'm going to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. As a matter of fact, my pastor will preach my funeral if I outlive him from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He already knows the scripture that I want him to preach. But the first verse says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What I know about heaven is it's a place I'm going to someday. Amen. And tonight, if you don't know for sure, tonight, if you've been pretending, Randy has been pretending for years, but tonight, God got a hold of him. Amen. Tonight, if you don't know for sure that that's where you're going, because you're going by the way that the Bible has said that you're going, not because of who you're related to, not because of what church you belong to, not because of anything that you've done outside of asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. If you don't know, tonight would be a good night to make preparations. Tonight would be a good night to know and to be sure, to be confident. If you know you're going, but you know there's some things that you don't want to carry to that other side, it'd be a good time to get it under the blood. It'll be a good time to get yourself cleaned up. John said, "He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He says, "If any man say he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth's not in him." Any man. Lost man, saved man. Any man. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be ready to go. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." In verse number 3, he says, "Every man that has this hope within him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Are you prayed up, cleaned up, and ready to go? Because knowing what I know about heaven, I want to go there. And knowing what I know about heaven, I want to be clean as I can be when I get there. As we stand tonight, if you need to come, you come. The altar's open. The altar's open.